Good morning, Akron family, and all who will tune in from faraway places. We're learning every week that more and more people are beginning to watch our services, and we're delighted that you're able to join in with us in worshiping our Lord today. If you'll go ahead and take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. You'll notice on Facebook there's an outline there. That'll keep us from chasing rabbits today. I'm bad about that. So you're welcome to utilize that, and it'll come up on the screen this morning as well. Ephesians chapter 4, and before we begin reading, I want to offer also a time of prayer. And as we pray today, I want you to be thinking about someone that is close to you, dear to your heart, that you would like to lift up to the Lord, and that God would bless, that God would intervene, that God would bring healing, that God would bring comfort, or whatever ministry of the Holy Spirit that you are seeking God for. So let me invite you to bow with me as we begin our sermon time. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for this day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in this day because you have created us for your purposes in this world. And that's why you called your creation good, because it's for your purpose. We pray, O Lord, that you will intervene in this time of the pandemic, that this COVID-19 virus will be destroyed. God, we pray for your miraculous power to bring a healing to our world, to bring a vaccine, to bring brilliant minds together so that one may be invented. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering under this virus at this very moment. Hundreds of people around the world are dying even as we speak from this virus. And so, God, we pray for your intervention. God, come and bring healing, bring a miracle to our world. Lord, we also pray for our loved ones that we have on our heart and our mind right now, our family members, our friends, people that we know, that need a touch from heaven. And those that are lost today that will need the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, I pray, O God, that now more than ever, there will be a cry from our people for hope, a cry for salvation, and realize that we are fragile, that we are short-lived, that this life is very short. We are like grass that withers and flowers that fade. We're like the wind that comes and goes. Our life is so short, and yet eternity is forever. And I pray, Father, there'll be a revival come to our country, to our world, as people call upon you. We pray, O Lord, for those in our church family that have been on the prayer list that we have in our bulletin, the one that Brother Bob sends out on the emails. We pray especially for them that you'll work a powerful work of your Holy Spirit in their life as well. Be present with us, Lord, in this time of worship, I pray. Lord, help this stammering preacher to say what thus saith the Lord. And Father, may we hear the Scriptures clearly today. May there be power and conviction based upon the Word of God, because it is your Holy Spirit that has brought to us this Word. And it is your Holy Spirit in us that listens and hears. Help our souls to respond in a way that will be obedient to you. We pray most of all that your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Excuse me. Richard rightly said that I'm preaching on anger today. And I'm going to be the first to admit, Richard, that I'm angry today. I'm angry that we're having to deal with this COVID-19 virus around the world. I'm angry that people are suffering under it. I'm angry that our students are not able to meet with each other in classrooms. I'm angry that our seniors are not able to graduate and receive their normal accolades and congratulations. I'm angry that there are hungry people around the world. I'm angry that the food distribution is not equitable in our land. And there may be shortages even more in the future days. I'm angry that we can't, as a church family, gather yet and see each other and hug each other. That day will come. We don't know when, but we look forward to it. Well, you've heard me express a lot about my anger. How about yours? How about yours? Well, anger is a natural God-given response to a threat, perceived or real. It's a natural God-given response to a threat, whether perceived or real. And so I will ask throughout the message today, why are you angry? Why are you angry? That's a question God asked Cain in the book of Genesis when his offering was rejected by the Lord. And Cain became angry, and God asked him, why are you angry? Why are you angry? And I'm preaching also today for another reason about anger. It's one of my favorite subjects, actually, to read and study. I've dealt with anger all my life, didn't know it. I thought I was the funny guy at school, but I've come to find out as a grown person that I was an angry kid. I remember seeing a little 8mm video that an uncle of mine made, and I was just like a 4-year-old kid, 5-year-old, trying to play baseball in the front yard with my two brothers and our family. And I saw myself as a kid, and I thought, wow, that's the angriest kid I've ever seen in my life. We've all dealt with anger all of our life. It is a God-given emotion. And God gave it to you so that you would survive. When the bear came after the Adam and Eve in the fall, after the fall, Adam had a quick response to protect his family and to respond. And so anger is something that God gave you for survival and for other reasons as well, and we'll discuss those today. I pray this message will be a blessing to you. Now, Paul is dealing with anger here in Ephesians chapter 4, and he's not dealing with an angry church so much as he's dealing with the old self and the new self, helping the churches in Asia Minor to deal with their emotions in relationships. And that's what we're going to talk about in the month of May, is relationships, all kinds of relationships. We'll talk more about the family next Sunday because it's going to be Mother's Day. We're going to celebrate all our moms and honor our moms and memorialize our moms as well. Well, Paul is talking to the Ephesian church about putting on the new self. Now, that's a picture of baptism. The person Paul talks about who's died with Christ has been buried by baptism. That symbolizes the old life, the old person that is dying to sin. But in baptism, we come back up out of the water. And Paul said that's like putting on the new self. So in putting on the new self, we're to speak truthfully with each other, and we're to deal with our emotions in relationships. Because God desires that we have fellowship with Him and fellowship with each other. Intimacy with God and intimacy with each other. And I know that you being sequestered at home have had times that you have got to deal with somebody else's anger or your own anger. Hopefully you've dealt with your own first. Well, let's read the text about putting on the new self and how we deal with anger. He's very particular about addressing the issue of anger. Therefore, now, when you read therefore in the Bible, it's there for a reason. So, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We belong to a family. We're the family of God, and we have a responsibility to speak the truth in love with each other. Now, in verse 26, be angry, and yet do not sin. That's a quote from the Psalms. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity with your God-given emotion called anger. Now, Does God deal with anger? Absolutely. We find many, many, many passages in the Old Testament where God deals with anger. And we discover that God's angry wrath is an expression from His love. God is love, the Bible says. And when God expresses anger, God is angry at something that is threatening His purposes. Because His purposes are holy and righteous. God is righteous, and His righteous anger is always opposing what He loves the most, His creation, His people. So anything that threatens what God loves experiences God's anger. They're not the opposites in God's nature. Anger is always expressed in His ultimate constructive ways, and they serve God's primary attribute of His love. Psalm 103 is so precious a passage of Scripture, and I hope that you will hold it in your heart. It says, God is tender and compassionate, slow to anger, most loving. His indignation does not last forever. He doesn't stay angry all the time. His resentment exists for a short time only. So God is moved to anger when His people are disobedient. In Judges chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, His own people. And when God's people are not obedient to Him, it moves God's heart to anger, and He responds in such a way. God is moved to anger against the enemies of His people as well. Many, many scriptures in the Bible of how God was angry at the enemies of Israel. And there are scriptures that where the prophet Jeremiah would call down God to destroy His enemies in His wrath, because the wrath of God would consume a person. Now, when we get to the New Testament, we find that Jesus expressed anger. Many people see Jesus as this mild, contemplative kind of prophet among us, but He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh, God with us, and He expressed all of our humanity. He was very God, and He was very human, both all in the same person, and He expressed anger. One of the most referred to passages about the anger of Jesus on display was at the temple. And when He went there, He saw that the people were being mistreated and the Pharisees were abusing the people's offerings. And they were making money. They were pilfering the pew, if you will. And that's still happening today. It makes God angry. Jesus was angry because they had turned the temple, not a house of prayer, but it was a house of greed. It was a house of selfishness. It was a place of abuse. The religious leaders were abusing their own people to make a profit. And Jesus said, that's not what the temple of God is all about. God is all about worship and holiness and purity of heart. There are other occasions where Jesus is angry. You remember Peter and Jesus had a little confrontation there before Gethsemane, and Jesus turned around to Peter and He said, "Get behind me, Satan." That's an angry statement. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that His emotions poured out like sweat drops of blood. The words that the Bible uses there is that He was in anguish of heart. We're going to learn in a minute that when we are anxious, we are dealing with anger. And when we are angry, we are dealing with anxiety. And Jesus doing soul business with the Father, just like you and I do sometimes as well. So anger is not a sin. It becomes a sin when we deal with it inappropriately, in unhealthy ways. Don't let the sun, the Bible says, go down on your anger. So not only does God deal with anger, but we deal with anger because we are created imago Deo. we are created in the image of God, and so we have anger. The passage I mentioned to you earlier was about Cain. And Cain was angry because his offering was not accepted by God. Obviously, he understood what the standards were, and he didn't meet the standards. And the Bible says the Lord had regard for Abel's offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" And that's the question I want us to ask today. As you allow the Holy Spirit to probe your anxious heart, why are you angry? Oh, there's good opportunities there if we could ever understand why we're angry. And the Lord says to Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Will you not be accepted? If you do not do what's right, sin is couching right at your door. It's desirous for you, but you must master it. Same thing Paul says right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. So it's time now to deal a little bit with the physiology of human anger. Okay? What is anger? Anger is an emotional response to a perceived threat. I'm going to stay with my notes closely here so that I don't chase rabbits. Anger is an emotional response to a perceived threat or to a real threat, doesn't matter. Now, when we are angry, we are upset. And our brain has two major parts. We have a feeling brain that's kind of right down in here, the amygdala, and we have the reasoning brain that's kind of up here. And when we see something that's threatening with our eyes, this part of the brain, the feeling part of the brain that is given to you for survival, the fight or flight adrenaline begins to dump. I mean, it dumps into your heart. The adrenaline dumps into your heart. It puts oxygen in your bloodstream. Your muscles begin to tense up. The heat begins to rise, and you can feel it coming up in your jaw and your neck area, and your ears turn red, and like the cartoons we used to watch, steam's coming out of your head. Well, that's the feeling part of your brain that's taking over. And when you listen to this carefully, when you're angry, the feeling part of the brain, right down in here, the amygdala, overrides the thinking part of the brain. The feeling part of the brain overrides the thinking part of the brain. And that triggers a fight or flight response. And it happens before you have time to even think about it. That's how quick it happens. So the feeling brain, when you perceive a threat, floods the brain. It floods the blood, the muscles, with this adrenaline. This ensures maximum blood supply to the organs that need to act for fight or flight. Adrenaline increases your heart output, your cardio output, by increasing your blood pressure. Your blood pressure goes up. Your pulse rate increases. And the stroke volume, the amount of blood in your heart chambers, increases as well. Blood vessels dilate, they open up, and the muscles, which constrict those in important places of the body, thus increasing the oxygen flow. Your blood sugar levels are elevated, and this increases energy to your muscles. When you're angry, you can do things with your muscles that you never could when you're relaxed. Isn't that interesting? The question is raised now, can you get addicted to the adrenaline flow of anger? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. This adrenaline flow can become addictive. And that's why some people stay angry all the time. They don't know what to do without that adrenaline flow to their body. It puts life back into the bloodstream. I remember one time I was pastor of a church. I didn't last very long there either, about 2 years, I think. And about my first year, I began to notice these people are angry all the time. I mean, they're gossiping about each other all the time. They're fighting with each other. There's just drama around here all the time. Drama, 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 drama. And I was just kind of meditating, walking up and down the road there, talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, why are these people angry all the time? And the Lord said to me, they like it. And I learned later that people who like anger and enjoy anger and are people who feed on it. When life is boring, when nothing creative is happening, anger can become an addiction just within itself. If you want to read about Christian anger, probably the definitive work out there right now is by a pastoral care professor who taught at my school here at Southern. He's now gone to be with the Lord. And he's written several books on Christian anger, pioneered some of the most recent work on that. His name is Dr. Andrew Lester. The Angry Christian is one of his great works. And I want to quote him here. He says, anger is a God-given emotion, which God blessed and called it good. Be angry, the Bible says. Now, Paul doesn't say, go get angry for anger's sake. No. He says, first of all, the new self, the Christian that's been raised with Christ, not the old Christian that was dominated by anger, but the new Christian, the new person that's been recreated in Christ Jesus, is still going to have anger, but will learn how to deal in truth about that anger. Speak truth to each other. Speak truth to yourself. Be angry, and yet do not sin with it. It's okay to be angry. It's not okay to hurt other people with your anger. It's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to hurt yourself with that anger. So let's talk about how we use our anger. Point number two, anger is potentially harmful or helpful, we see. It can be harmful. It can be helpful. He says, be angry, but do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. Paul never says avoid anger, and that's the usual Christian response to anger. And that's why we have so many pent-up emotions, is that we don't know how to deal with what's there, something called anger. I've been taught all my life a good Christian doesn't get angry. Doesn't get angry. And that's not healthy. Anger is a God-given emotion. We all deal with it. We all have it in some way or another. But stewardship requires that we deal with it productively. So first, what are the harmful and helpful ways that anger can be our ally? Well, one way, anger can enhance fellowship or erode fellowship. It can harm it or it can erode it. Now I'm talking about fellowship in the church. Fellowship between spouses, we call that intimacy and love. It can either help or hurt. Paul said, we are members one of another. In Corinthians, Paul said, some of us are like the ear to the body. Some of us are like the hand to the body. Some of us are like the leg and the foot and the eye. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. We're not allowed to cut off relationships in the church. We are allowed to speak the truth in love and deal with our emotions. Now, here's the good news. Let this encourage you. Men, if you love your wife, you will allow her to express her anger. She is worth fighting with. If you're willing to rumble with each other, and I like that word better than fighting, is that okay? if you're willing to rumble with each other, then that says, I value you enough to deal with what's getting between us, to remove what's getting between the intimacy and the love that we have for each other. Same way in the church. And Paul uses the relationship between the husband and wife in Ephesians 5 to talk about the fellowship in the church as well. So it can enhance fellowship, or it can erode. If we avoid it, it erodes. If we suppress it, it erodes. But if we speak the truth in love, then we're saying to the other person, I love you. I value you. We are members one of another. And you're worth rumbling with. Another harmful or helpful potential is that growth and self-understanding are we stifle by avoiding it. And if you can ever listen to the Holy Spirit and ask yourself, why am I angry? Then you'll begin to have a better self-understanding of why you get angry. What's pushing your buttons? What is being threatened in your life? What value? What circumstance? What do you treasure? Who do you treasure? What are your values that are being threatened here? If you can understand those things, then you'll begin to learn a lot more about yourself and be a steward of yourself. And that leads me to the last point in this message. Anger stewardship. I want to talk about anger as stewardship. Making anger your ally. Every Christian has to deal with it. So I'm going to give you three easy words to remember that'll help guide you. I didn't invent these three words, but I almost did. And somebody else wrote it in an article before I got it published. Name it, claim it, and aim it. It's just that simple. Name the anger, claim the anger, and aim the anger. Now, where we get in trouble is we don't aim it appropriately. We aim it at our dog and kick him around, you know. We aim it at our kids and mistreat them. That's not a healthy way to aim our anger. So name it, claim it, and aim it. And God will help you with His grace to deal with anger. What do I mean by name it? Name it simply means to acknowledge your anger. It's good to say and back off from yourself and say, you know what? I feel my heart pumping. I feel the blood coming up. I'm angry. Or I'm anxious. And when you're anxious, there's anger there. We're anxious because we perceive a threat against something or someone that we treasure and that we think is important in our life. Name it. Say it with me. I am angry. That's all you got to say. I am angry. All of a sudden, you have backed away. You put it out on the table so that that emotion is not driving and controlling you, but you are controlling, as a good steward, that emotion. And when you name it, when you speak it, when you say it, I am angry. You're getting it out there, and you're the only creature God made that can do that. Reptiles and mammals cannot do that. But people can, and God made you that way, that you can back away from your emotions and say, you know, I'm feeling anger right now. 90% of how you're going to deal with it next is successful because you've been able to name it. Anger is a spiritual ally in its role as an advocate of hope. Let me say that again. Anger is a spiritual ally in your Christian walk as an advocate of hope. Listen to what Paul says. Lay aside falsehood, speak truth to one to his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry, don't sin, let the sun not go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. We can be restored to sweet fellowship with our spouse, with our children, with our church family, with the neighbor next door. There's hope for a stronger, better relationship when we begin to deal with our anger. When we avoid it and don't deal with it, terrible things happen. We don't reconcile with people. It stays in us, and it has terrible consequences. It can cause strokes. It can cause heart attacks. It can cause avoidance of your neighbor. And problems don't get resolved because the anger is not dealt with. So when our anger has no voice, it has no hope. It becomes a destructive cancer to our soul, our mind, our bodies, and our relationships. It can lead to depression. It can lead to abuse of others or abuse of our own selves. It can cause insomnia. It can cause high blood pressure and other ailments that we chronically live with because of this emotion God gave to us called anger. So number one, name it. Just say to yourself, I'm angry. I'm angry. Take a deep breath. Name it. I'm angry. And God says to you, to the Holy Spirit, same thing you told Cain in Genesis. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? And that leads to the second step. Claim it. It's mine. I'm angry. Have the courage to choose a healthy option once you claim that it's my anger. It's not somebody else's. Nobody can make you angry. Did you know that? Nobody can make you angry. We choose to be angry based upon our perception of what is threatening us. So, what am I angry about? Who am I angry at? Maybe I'm angry with God. You say, whoa, can't get angry at God. Well, number one, God already knows your emotion. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. And he might be angry with you if you're being unjustly dealt with by others. Yeah. I believe we all have a time when we're angry with God. Children of Israel did. If you want to read a chapter in the Bible where the Israelites were angry at God, read Psalm 44. They are so mad at God for not coming through for them and not doing what they thought he ought to do. But after they expressed their anger to God and they said, God, we're angry with you, then they began to calm down in that psalm. And then they began to refresh their relationship with God. And they said, Lord, you're still good and you're going to take care of us. You see, they expressed their anger to God. God, like a loving parent, wants to hear your anger so that he can comfort your anger and bring truth to you. One of the reasons we're angry is because we're listening to lies. And if we express it to God, God can bring truth to bear and help us understand that he's in charge, he's doing things for his glory, and he's going to take care of you and me. Kind of like when a parent has a child that's angry. The parent knows the child's angry. The parent probably already knows why the child's angry. But the good parent wants to embrace the child and say, come tell me why you're angry. And that's the way God is. So if you've been dealing all these years and angry at God, he wants you to spell it out. He wants you to say it to him so he can hug you and love you and help you understand truth and guide you in making some healthy choices. Third step. Remember, name it. Name what it is. I'm angry. Claim it. It's my anger. Why am I angry? Claim it. And number three, aim it. Pew. Aim it. Don't aim it at the wrong person. Don't aim it at the wrong animal in your house. Don't aim it at your own heart. Aim it in an appropriate way. The Bible teaches us we need to communicate any misunderstanding or feelings of anger to each other in person. Whether that's spouse to spouse, child to parent, parent to child, friend to friend. If any member of the church sins against you, If you sin against me, I'm going to be angry. If any member of the church sins against you, if I sin against you, you're going to be angry. Go and point out the fault. When the two of you are alone, the Bible says. I'm not to get up here when I'm angry at Paul back there. And I don't go to Paul and tell him about it. I just get up here in the pulpit and say, you know what Paul did to me? Thank God he's smiling. Whew, that's good. No, that's not good. I'm to go to him in person. And I trust him to listen to me. And that increases our fellowship with each other and straightens out any misunderstanding. Number two, I am to express anger to a trusted friend. That's not gossip. I'm talking about a friend that you can just vent with. You know that friend, I used to have a deacon one time who was president of a union there in Louisville, the whole GE union. And he was chairman of deacons at our church up there in Louisville. Norm said to me one time in the deacon's meeting, he said, preacher, I don't see how you stand it. He said, if you just want to go out in the woods and scream and holler, I'll go with you. Well, sometimes you need to do that. And sometimes you just need somebody to stand there and just listen to why you are so angry. Not the person you're angry with, but somebody that will hear it and keep it, not go gossip about it. Express anger to a trusted friend. It may be your pastor. It may be to a counselor. If you, like many people, are not comfortable telling your pastor all your secrets, but there's another pastor in town, be glad to listen. Number three, journal. Write it down. Write it out to whom you're angry and why you're angry. And number four, if you've offended someone, which you probably have, confess it and ask them to forgive you. I hope this little message about anger has been some help. Read that outline in the Facebook pages there, and perhaps it'll help even more. Our time has come to an end. I thank you for joining in today. Now that I've talked about my anger, I'm not so angry. Will you join with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your anger is always directed at injustice and wrong and sin. And God, that we can be angry about things you're angry about. We can hate the things you hate and love the things you love. Because you are always righteous, always in the right and doing the right and seeing to it that the right gets done. Lord, we realize today that we struggle with this and other emotions, these earthly emotions that hinder us from our relationship with you. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. And help us to have the courage of the Holy Spirit and hope that strained relationships can become sweeter relationships because we're willing to tell the truth. I'm angry. Let's work this out. I love you so much, I'm willing to trust you with this confession. I pray, Lord, that someone listening today will understand that we're sinners and we need to be saved, and they will pray to ask Jesus to forgive them of sin and come into their life so that the old nature that was dominated by our earthly passions is not in control anymore, but our new nature, our Christ-like nature, will be in charge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.